Thank you so much for having me on. That was great.
I'll wait till you take that bite.
Yeah, okay. Ask me anything.
Britt Beer, how the hell are you?
I'm doing fucking great, man. I'm being fed. I'm surrounded by puppies and music. This is amazing. Thank you.
I'm glad you're happy. We do our best to accommodate. And I feel like I'm not trying to brag or toot my own horn. I feel like we're getting better and better at it every podcast. So I think like the production that you're getting to watch today or be a part of is the best it's ever been up to this moment. It might be better next week. I don't know. But
oh, dang it.
But right now in this moment, this is the best it's ever been in here. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you. No, this is now I just finished my bite of this amazing homemade chorizo tortilla. Thank you, Laura.
The tortilla is not homemade, but the chorizo is definitely. Oh, yeah.
I take that back. Actually, no,
the tortilla is from Trader Joe's, and I'm like caught between my saying tortilla and tortilla right now.
And I'm always caught too because it's like I.
Do you stop yourself?
I want
you
to,
feel like
but then it feels offensive. Yeah, it feels offensive as just like a basic white woman.
I call my dog Penelope. I call her Chunshine instead of Sunshine, and my friend was like, "I can't say Chunshine." She's like, "I'm appropriating your culture."
Yeah, it's. I feel like sometimes it's that hard line of appreciation and appropriation, and I worry that I'm not going to know.
I think that's where like your whole like I know that like in the moment, but then that's where your whole character comes into judgment because they'd be like, oh, she's not like that, she's just trying to like in honor the culture.
Yeah, I think there's if we had more room for nuance and explanations, or that would be beneficial. Yeah, it's I'm like, okay, yeah, if I feel like I can't defend it, but if someone wants to defend me, who knows,
I would definitely defend you.
You think?
Yeah,
how do your basis though of being a nice person is it like you know, it's like I would give you a ride to the airport. Are you like,
not the airport?
Cool.
I might pick you up from the airport if you walked about a good block or two up. Yeah. Like met me.
You
like,
caught me on Highway 5.
Yeah, yeah. I would definitely pick you up. Okay. I might charge you a cup of coffee.
Right. That's fair.
Like that's pretty much my price for about anything.
A cup of coffee.
Can I get a cup of coffee
that's
out of
fair.
It?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I am also enjoying. Thank you.
Oh yeah, that's some Trader Joe's, but you know what we do?
Oh, never mind. No, thank you.
You know what we do to this coffee is like we add a scoop of. Salted caramel chocolate to it.
Well, I saw it was a French roast.
Yeah,
so
but I throw it all in. Yeah, so I add the coffee, then I add a little bit of the. It's a salted caramel hot cocoa mix, and it gives it that chocolatey kick that you're.
Amazing. I'm gonna have to get that recipe. That thank you. Feeling. Yeah, my boyfriend. I love coffee, and
I don't trust people that don't love coffee.
Right. Yeah.
Like, what's wrong with you? How do you start? Like, no wonder you're so grumpy. You haven't had coffee today.
But I feel like too, there's differences. There's some people who don't have coffee because they're just like super health conscious, and then there's other ones. They're just they're high operating that it puts them over the edge.
Do you think some people just like to say I don't like coffee because like everybody likes coffee? So that's like the I don't like the Beatles people.
Oh my God, I was those people.
Oh. Wow, yeah. So you just blew my whole theory.
Yeah.
Well, okay, wait. Are we done with coffee? Because
I accept everybody's positions on coffee, but for the Beatles. Okay, so growing up, actually when I was about 10 years old, I vowed that I hated roses, soccer, and the Beatles.
What? Okay, let's stop. Why did you hate Rose? Did it all happen like in one day? Like the boy didn't give you a rose at a soccer game and the Beatles were playing on the radio? And like, that's why like you just hated all things?
That would make more sense. I think, I just remember like decidedly like making this point. But I think it was just a projection of what I was hurting as a kid. Uh-huh. So it was like I didn't believe in love. And so then I was like, okay, tulips are my favorite flower. And then soccer was because I grew up in El Dorado Hills, just like suburb city, and everyone played soccer and I didn't. So I felt super left out. So I was like, all right, soccer's on the list. And
why didn't you play soccer?
And then later I did.
Okay.
And then later I love roses. And later I love the Beatles.
Oh, later you love the Beatles.
Yeah,
the story has a happy ending.
It does. It was... let's see here. Oh, and I didn't love the Beatles because I was envious of kids grew up with it, and my parents listened to like AC/DC, Paul Abdul, Ray Charles. But I feel like too, if like I grew up in the 90s where you didn't always have access to music, and so I didn't grow up loving the Beatles, and I felt so left out of all the conversations. And then finally, when I was like 19, I was temporarily in a band called the Jazz Pirates.
Were you a singer? What did you do?
I played alto saxophone.
Shut the fuck. All right, hold on a second.
Do you play saxophone? No way. Hold up. Okay. I did not know you played saxophone.
I'm not going to play
I feel like
right
everyone
now.
Secretly plays saxophone.
But.
What? Dude. Oh my God. Oh, and you were in marching band. Yes. You too? Okay. Sorry. Okay. Oh. Hold up. I did not know that. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, I knew obviously you love music, and that was one thing I wanted to ask you as well, too.
Go like, for it. What do you want to ask me? Yeah. Are we done with that? Are we done? Wait. So, okay. But, anyways. On the note on the Beatles.
Yeah.
I do think that everybody, what you were saying, yes, everybody does love the Beatles, but a lot of times the Beatles were handed down to you by a brother, an uncle, right. A mom, or dad. So I get how you're saying that they didn't give you that. But mm-hmm. Dude, they gave you AC/DC? Come on.
Yeah, which is amazing.
And Paula Abdul, I love pop music.
I do too, yeah.
So they gave you some good stuff.
True.
But how did the Beatles end up, like, what? How did they land in, was it a movie or like you heard a song or?
Yeah, I heard a song. My friend made like a mix CD and of songs our band was gonna play. And I was loving one song so much. And
hey,
it was
Jude.
Sergeant Pepper's.
Oh, your marching band played Sergeant Pepper's?
Or I think it was on the list. Of course, we disbanded.
Oh, your band. I got stuck in marching band.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But I was in marching band as well.
Uh-huh.
I remember crying the first time I saw myself in the outfit. We had what we called the tampon hats. It was just so big, white, tall, fluffy.
Uh-huh.
What did your outfit look like?
Our outfits were dope. We were the Crimson Bear Brigade.
Damn.
We were red and
did you
black.
Have capes?
No.
Okay.
No capes.
The half shoulder capes.
But we had fucking cowboy hats with the flap on the side.
What? No fair.
Yeah, and on band trips, I would fucking, like, I did it a couple times, and a couple of my other friends did it a couple times, because the Edge from U2 would have the Ace of Spades card in his hat, and
cool.
We would do that. Fucking
so
hilarious.
Cool. Oh, I know. I love it. I love all my best friends that I mostly keep in contact were all my band geek friends.
Yeah, I still keep in contact with a lot of my band geek friends, and I still fucking trade band stories. I was sharing videos with Laura last night about the band, and so, you know, it's just ironic that last night I pulled this out for the first time in maybe 2 or 3 years. The last time I pulled this out, Emily Peterson and Danny D were here.
Yeah.
And they were like, you play sax. And I could pull it out and I played a little bit for them. So
I should have brought mine. I want to play yours, but I'm like, I know I've got coffee and chorizo
we
bread.
We have
but
fresh reeds.
Yes, dude.
I got 2.5. So I tried playing on a 3 last night and I was dying.
Oh, dude, I'm a 2.5 too.
Yeah, and then we put the 2.5 on there and I was like, oh, this fucking makes a world of difference.
I love this. This is for all the band geeks.
All the band geeks. Man, that's so awesome. Okay. Band geeks, band. What else were we talking about? I already forgot.
I know. That's why I literally brought a notepad.
Oh, let's go. So, Britt Beer, I've known you for about 2 years now.
Yeah.
Maybe I met you like right before. Were you doing comedy right before the pandemic? Or are you post-pandemic?
I am. So, to give it in a short Reader's Digest version, I started comedy in Sacramento in like 2008. Then I moved to Chicago to study improv at like Improv Olympic, Annoyance Theater in Second City. And then on a left turn, moved to Nashville in 2014, which its scene is amazing. And I got to be there like just in this boom
of
comedy for 6 years. Yeah, to 2020. And then pretty much pandemic hit. And my brother encouraged me to go back to school. And so I was editing videos, teaching myself like editing, and I ended up moving back home, working for Blue Shield Insurance during the pandemic.
Everybody works in healthcare up here.
Somehow, you can't escape it.
Yeah,
and went back to school, community college here for film because it was finally like the culmination of everything that I wanted, and then ended up. I think I got accepted to like Columbia Hollywood for cinematography, but I literally deferred to work on a feature film that filmed up here in Placerville. It's called Christmas Bloody Christmas.
I've seen the trailer.
Have you?
Of course.
So wicked.
I saw the trailer.
That's literally one of those things where I'm like, working on that film was one of the coolest experiences of my life.
Anything that you guys, anything that you do, Luke Soin, all those cats, I cool fucking stuff. Watch all that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so cool. Yeah. Luke's doing such cool stuff. That was so fun to work on Canceled with him.
Yeah. Oh, man. The camera work is, who's doing all those effects?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, is Luke doing all those effects?
He's editing and he's directing and writing storyboards. Like, he is already just so skilled in the way that he maps out the film that he's working on.
I saw what a great job he did on Josh Means' special.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, this is great. And that really put the bug in me to do my special. I was like, oh, fuck, I got to do one.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And props to all those cats and you, man.
Seriously. Oh, thank you. And actually, pretty much at the end of this February, I'm celebrating 2 full years of working in film and paying my bills working in film.
Hell yeah.
Which I never thought I'd get to, of like, essentially stand-up comedy. I joke is like pursuing that has been a bucking bronco, but I'm like still pursuing those dreams.
Uh-huh.
But then I literally had to reckon yesterday of, I got to sit in on those webinars that comedian Mike Lawrence is doing.
Uh-huh.
And he was just like defining different like definitions of making it. And then I literally like was like, fuck, like
I've made it
in a way I can pay my bills working in film. And
and you're still learning and getting better at all of it.
Yes. Yes.
Fuck yeah. I want to backtrack a little bit because I'm a fucking super Saturday Night Live nerd. When you when you went to Second City, did you have SNL dreams?
Oh yes.
Tell me about the whole process. How did you land at Second City? Was there an audition?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. We'll give you.
You get an email. You got a letter. What? How'd you end up at Second City?
So yeah. So how it works is most people start in Improv Olympic of taking classes. There's kind of like everyone word of mouth whispers. And honestly too, this is so funny. This is like 2011 and this was like before there was as many resources like to learn about things. You know, it felt so less accessible.
Uh-huh.
But I remember being in Sacramento and reading interviews with Susan Messing and then got to take classes from her in Chicago. And she was like one of the most like, her presence is like so, you can't not be attentive and in the moment in the room with her. But so yeah, how it started was my best friend and I, Heather Martin, we actually were having lunch here in Sacramento and we had never talked about it before, but she was like, let's do it, let's move to Chicago. And we signed the menu.
How old were you?
I should do the math. Let's see here. I think I was 23.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And and we signed the menu that we picked the date, August 15th, 2011. And we figured we're like, okay, 2 months gives us enough time to sell our cars, do whatever we need. And I would put sticky notes on the wall of just like every task that I needed to complete to do it. And we moved in 2 months and it's like one of the most beautiful, exciting times ever. We literally shared this tiny apartment with two twin beds that were literally like probably even like a foot and a half apart in this tiny apartment where you open the door and you couldn't even open the oven all the way because it was literally in a tiny closet.
Were you by a subway car, above ground subway car that rattled the apartment half the time?
Oh, yes. Yeah. It was
this. Because I'm thinking Chicago, but were you in a Chicago suburb or were you in Chicago?
We were in Lakeview neighborhoods. Everything's like in the neighborhood.
That's right by the river, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And it's 5 blocks from Wrigley Field and where Improv Olympic was. And
so you started going to Improv Olympics right when you get there.
So we took classes. It was freaking amazing. And then you audition at the end of taking all of the classes.
Okay,
and
gotcha.
We did not get accepted into Herald teams. No, it was so crushing at the time, but there's like so many talented people.
But
like,
did you look around you? Did you look around you and be like, what the fuck, Broad City? Wait, hold on.
No,
when you didn't make Herald though, did you look around you and be like, okay, it makes sense. Like, you weren't like mad about who made Herald and who didn't make Herald.
I wish I had that insight at the time, but I feel like it was so vulnerable. You take it so personally versus like, even we had people in our class who were like, this is my second or third time around, you know? And now I feel like I'm older to have more perspective of just like, just keep showing up.
I never made the Herald team at Sacramento Comedy Spot.
Yeah, see?
I auditioned like, 3 times.
Let's say, and with the creators of Broad City, they didn't make Herald teams.
I think that's why they started Broad City, because they couldn't make the Herald team.
So everyone has a different journey and just trust that yours is the right one for you. But I remember I was excited and I took, I think like up to the first 3 levels of it, the Annoyance Theater. And then at Second City, I auditioned for their conservatory program.
Uh-huh.
And I got in, and pretty much it's like unspoken. They're like, okay, you're going to have like these three beats to hit, you know, so that they know that you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Like, you better have a change of emotion by the end of the scene. You want to obviously initiate immediately that you are known characters to each other, to create a world. And so I was excited. I'd gotten I think I was starting my next second class. But then, of course, life takes turns. I moved to Tahoe briefly to work on my sister's in-law's restaurant. And it was also during the polar vortex. So, like, I tapped out. It was negative 40 degrees.
Holy shit.
In Chicago. Which now I look back.
And I was going to say, because you land in Chicago, like, in September. So the weather's not horrible yet.
Oh, it was amazing. Yeah. And I was so naive and humbled. I've grown up in California my whole life. And I didn't even know weather like that existed in the United States.
I always like to say, I saw pictures of it.
I had no idea. Yeah. And I had no idea that the city, like, continues to show up each day. Like, it's... And what's wild too, and I've been kind of working on this like new joke, is just I realize I've always been colder in Sacramento winters than in Chicago, because you have to dress to survive there. You're gonna wear thermals, layers, socks, have proper boots, a real jacket. And then here it's like all of us just throw in a sweatshirt and we're like,
I don't own a real jacket.
See, none of us do, so we're colder here actually.
Yeah,
but
I remember the first time I had a friend who was concerned about buying her children winter coats, and I'm like, let's go to Mervyn's. Like,
R.I.P. Mervyn's.
Yeah, but I was like, what are you tripping on? She's like, no, Jesse, they need real fucking coats.
They don't have them. Luckily, someone had gave theirs to me that otherwise I would not have made it. But yeah, we don't have those types of jackets here.
Wow.
But see, I'm almost like, okay, and then where to from there? Like I said, too, it's been a long journey for me. Sometimes I'm embarrassed, and it's hard for me to calculate how long I've been doing comedy, because it's like sometimes...
Because you took these breaks.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so it's hard to say, and especially, too, like we're saying, like mental health breaks of...
Yeah, if you had to do that?
A little bit. Uh-huh. But one of the reasons, too, of why I got into comedy was, I think when I was about 19, I had OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, just like kind of knock on my door in my life and took me for a run. And
do you still fight with it?
I do a little bit, but I'm so grateful that I also too, I think that's an important thing to celebrate, is I say I'm in recovery from it. I'm actually living and doing great. And every once in a while I'll be like, oh, okay, it shows up in a new dress sometimes, but I'm like, oh, you again. Okay, you're clever. But I feel so grateful for the things that used to really haunt me that I can laugh at now.
Do you feel like you were able to take some of the compulsiveness of OCD and like apply it to help you like succeed in a daily life, where like you kind of you kind of tap into like in the morning, let me tap into my OCD a little bit to make sure I don't forget what I need to do today?
I think a little bit too. Yeah, you can use... almost like I said too, like my mantra of still showing up. I feel like sometimes an obsessiveness can assist you that way, though I'm not utilizing it as much as I should be. But I think like anything, of it's a little bit misunderstood of it's like we all have similar quirks and tendencies under it, the umbrella of OCD.
When you're having a shitty day, do you want to do comedy? Do you want to edit film? Do you want to, like, what brings you out of it? What's your first, this is going to bring me out of my shitty day?
Yeah. Is going thrift shopping.
Oh my God.
It is the cure and all, which I love. And actually too, I think every human is creative, and I want to help create a world that people are, have more freedom to create art.
Uh-huh.
And if that comes out as like access to food, housing rights, all of that, just so we can all frolic and make art.
I love that you're realizing your place in the village.
Ooh.
Right? Yeah. That you're kind of like, okay, that's the world I want to live in.
I think if I were placed in the village, I would just be on a park bench complimenting people. Like, if that could be my job.
I think that's definitely
needed. I love everybody. Like, I always feel like I wish I lived long enough to be friends with everyone.
I'm gonna ask a long question so you could take a sip of your coffee.
Oh, thank you.
I saw you grab your cup. I love, I'm wondering if you do this because I do this. You said that you love thrifting.
Yes, okay.
Do you love yard selling as much as you love thrifting?
Oh, yes. It's all about the deal.
Okay. Oh, right.
It is the deal and the find.
What's the girl? Dude, okay, like real quick. I just want, no, I can't, you can't do it. Oh, but did you see the Jimi Hendrix in the bathroom?
No.
Okay. There's a Jimi Hendrix in the bathroom I paid $2 for.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Is it, it's an original album?
No, no, it's a print painting by is it David Garibaldi? David, the guy that does the, throws the splatters on the thing and the, that turns into art. I don't know. Anyway, I'll go on.
I'll say yes, and then edit it out if it's wrong.
No, it's not wrong. I may have said it wrong. Yeah, I may have. But so when you drive around Sacramento, are you looking for thrift stores? Are you like, oh, I haven't been to that one yet? Or like when you hit a different city, are you gonna thrift if you can?
Oh my God, that was my favorite thing. Yeah, it's the best to go to like kind of the outskirts of a city to go thrifting. I love, going to like funky stores. Not like, I do love vintage, but most of the time they're curated to know the value. So yeah. I love hunting for a deal. And for me too, I know I'm dressed pretty boring, but fashion is actually one of my favorite ways to express myself when I have creative blocks. Mm-hmm. It's so freeing and my ego isn't involved in it at all. So it's like I can wear funky stuff. And when I used to live in Nashville, I ended up working for a vintage store, which was such a cool experience.
So you got first dibs?
Yes. And I also, and I would eye things and be like, you will be mine. But it was so cool of the owner, her name was Shane. She created this store and like, the most coolest curated stuff, and like musicians would come in to find outfits for touring, and I would get to like help style people, and I have no proper qualifications for that, but she took a chance on me and I got to like learn and express that skill set. So like I love, especially too, working in film, I love, and any times too that I've got to work on project on camera, I love helping like curate wardrobe.
Wow.
But I don't think that that's, I think my end goal is probably to write and direct. And so I feel like I want to know enough about each department to be dangerous, as they say.
Yep.
But,
See, are you going to be able to not be so hands-on? Are you always going to have, what kind of director are you going
to
be?
Oh, I think I'll be an emotional one where I want to like, you're just kidding. They're like,
are you like, get out of here?
She's a cry timeout. No.
Are you gonna be a Kubrick and make them shoot it 48 times?
Well, I probably will. That's something that surprised me working in film. I had no idea how literally every minute is calculated in the day. And so I always thought that each scene got to have 40 takes, but you're really getting 1-2 in the pocket and you gotta move to the next camera lens, the next setup, coverage. Like, I'm so glad to have worked behind the scenes in film to understand that before I walked on a set, because otherwise it'd be so intimidating to know the flow of the set. But I think I would be someone where I would want to meet one-on-one with the actors and really discuss the backstory.
I and love try to have backstories. Creative. Have you done roles in films? Have you done roles? Do you go deep in backstories and building the character? I love that part of it.
Yeah, I love that. I'm actually, I don't have too much experience yet. I'm taking classes at Studio 24 in Folsom. Okay. They also have a studio in LA, and I love that place so much. When I come home every Wednesday night, I'm just like beaming from that class.
Did you have to do a monologue?
No, we didn't. Well, we do. We auditioned from like a scene.
What scene did you do? That's what I wanted to know. Like, what did you do? What scene did you do to audition?
I'm trying to remember because I did it earlier last year. You do a workshop for a month.
Uh-huh.
And then what's really cool too is they,
Oh, so it's not like a famous scene from a movie.
No,
it's
not like, but I have though, like right now.
It's not like when she has a seizure the first time in the beauty salon of Steel Magnolias. Like, it's not that.
Yes. No, no.
Okay.
At least their process, not so much, but we do, like right now, I'm working on a scene from Romy and Michelle's high school reunion.
Okay.
Which is really
another
fun.
Another classic.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And actually, I'm really good at crying on cue too.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah.
Listen. Yeah.
Yeah. It's manipulative.
I know.
Skilled.
I was going to tell the fans. She can cry on cue, you guys. I want to backtrack a little bit.
I know.
Because there's I want to pay homage to our very dear friend Amy Thompson.
Yes.
You mentioned fashion.
Yes.
That you love fashion. When you do comedy shows, mm-hmm. how much do you think about dressing to kill and being a type on stage? What? How much do you think about it?
Too much. And I wish I didn't. Because sometimes I wish I just had like a uniform to wear and then actually spent time writing punchlines. I'm very good at premises. Like,
okay.
But I... But sometimes I do worry about, because I feel like people's perception of like that immediate, you know,
yeah.
like likability. Yeah. And so sometimes I feel like when I dress like a bro in different rooms, I feel like I do better versus then. I love in like some rooms where you can be like really femme and fun and like get to be a little bit more flamboyant in what I'm wearing. But I do, I spend way too much time worrying about it and usually like land somewhere in the middle of like probably plain jeans, maybe like a sport jacket.
How much are you thinking about comfortability?
Like a lot.
A lot?
Yeah. Sometimes too, I'll wear an extra undershirt because I'm less likely to be cold, which I think makes me nervous.
I'll wear one of those like workout shirts, like the like the thermal shirts or whatever, like the dry fit shirts or whatever.
Yeah,
I'll wear one of those under, especially right now because it's so cold.
Yeah, honestly, I think that should be like something that Toastmasters should tell people. It's like actually make sure you dress warm because when you're cold, you're nervous and you're not, mm-hmm. you don't sound as sure. But well, yeah, no, I worry about it. I always think like I'm like like half a decision away from getting a bowl cut. Because I feel like I'd be like funnier.
With my fashion on my on stage fashion, like my dress to kill, about 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, a friend of mine said that I dressed like a retired rapper.
Nice.
And I just fucking embraced it.
That's great.
And I just embraced it. And like now I don't stray from the tracksuit. I feel fine in the tracksuit.
That's great. Yeah.
I love like I'll break sweats on stage, so that's why I'll go with the baseball cap.
Yeah.
And like sometimes
are you ever gonna get a towel to like dab yourself?
No, I don't want to be that guy. No.
Oh man, missing out.
No, I don't wanna because I don't wanna once the sweat starts, then if I break a sweat on stage, then I'm gonna start to hyper focus on, okay, why am I sweating? Is my heart rate too fast? Right. Am I talking too fast?
It takes you out of it.
Yeah, so with the baseball cap I don't ever even feel that sweat. Like I'll take the hat off at the end of the set and I'll feel it's a little bit heavier, you know, but it didn't affect me during the set.
Which also, congrats on your album recording at the Punchline.
Thank you so much
for
coming.
That's so awesome. I meant to say that at the start of the podcast.
That's all right. It's about you.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can finally talk about me.
That's 20 awesome. Minutes
in. No, I'm just kidding.
I think that helps. I think, I hate saying it that way, but having a brand or some way that people can figure you out. And I know that, I struggle with that sometimes.
I think that's important because it's part of the whole product, right?
Yeah.
I think it's important. Thanks for coming out to the show. I thought it was I loved everyone's set. But real quick, shout out to fucking Danny Luna.
Yes. Oh, that was so fun to see.
Danny Luna, right? Because we see Danny so much at open mics and to see Danny just fucking crushing.
He was playing up there. Like, it was so fun. Yeah, everyone did so well and it was just such good vibes in the whole room. That was,
There was particular friends that, like, I said, you have to be there because I need your fucking energy.
Yeah.
Like when you said you were going to try to come, I was like, I immediately, like, if I'd have been like a little bit of a closer friend to you, I'd have been like, bitch, you better fucking come. But that's like what.
I thought you were going to tell me don't come.
No. Cause like there's these people in Sacramento that I absolutely love and I want them. I feed off their energy and I wanted all of those people there. So like when you said you were going to try to come, I was like, oh man, I hope she makes it. And when I saw you at the end of the show, I was so fucking happy to see you.
Yeah, dude, well done. That's such an accomplishment. And I was super excited to see your show too, of sharing the journey too, from struggling from addiction, or as far as I know. That's one of the things too I love about comedy is like we all become really close because we all see each other at mics, hear our life stories in bits and pieces. And so then we know each other and we form like people's backstories, but without ever getting, well, that's why these podcasts are cool too, to get more of insight into people.
Yeah, there's so much of my life that was like spent in like addiction and struggle, and like none of my Sacramento friends, well, I'm gonna say like 80% of my Sacramento friends have never even seen me drink a beer. Like they're like is he making that up? Like,
right,
but this life is such a journey, and then now we're here fucking eating chorizo burritos and fucking drinking coffee.
So good. Yeah.
This has been such a great morning.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Yeah. I think I love too. All my favorite comedians have something to say or an interesting life path. And so I love people who can share those journeys from, I don't know, being in the driver's seat of that.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel that your comedy has come to a point where you're sharing those types of stories, or what? How do you feel about the stuff you're writing? Are you happy with it? Do you want to do more, less?
Great question. I want to do more, but I will say I am actually scared. I am actually scared to really, I guess, really fully speak my mind. And it's one of those things too, I guess, at open mics, you really have to take chances to massage those out. And I think I'm a little bit shy to do that.
I think that's the kind of stuff where you gotta write with friends and you gotta bounce those ideas.
That's a good idea. Yeah.
And you gotta find this like inner circle. Like I remember there was a time where like me, Emily Peterson, Heather Rogue, Sarah Dutcher, Jillian, Danny D a couple times, Jackie Pearl would just sit in the living room and just bounce ideas, and we like, you know, just some great jokes were formed there, because like you do have to be really vulnerable, and you're like, you say something that you're afraid to say, but then you get the immediate reaction of your peers and they encourage you, like, nah, go ahead and say it. And then they'll be like, you think that's bad? One time I did this, and you're like, oh fuck, you know.
Yeah,
and then you
realize that's the good stuff.
Yeah, you realize that we all have these cracks, man, but like comedy is like helping seal them, you know.
Yeah. And yeah, I agree. Sometimes I feel like I'm not great. Like I said, I feel like I'm a premise queen. Uh-huh. Like I feel like I'm really good at seeing where something, I'll be like, there's something there, I know there's something there, and it sometimes takes me for freaking ever to form all the pieces of the joke. And then I know one of my things is like, I feel like I've had jokes for like some for a really long time and that are good, and I don't always share them, or I have videos of them, or I don't post them online. So I have, it's funny, a little bit with stand-up, I have some like self-sabotage behaviors, but I'm super grateful, at least for my career in film, that I haven't had that. So like that's moved so much faster and more effortless.
Mm-hmm.
But so yeah, sometimes too I feel like I'm a little bit like 1 foot in, 1 foot out with stand-up, and so. But I feel like it's all part of the same tool and a different muscle.
Yeah.
Because like I want to write and act in TV and film.
I get so happy when I see you around stand-up, because I know you have so many, what do they say, like pots on the stove that you're doing a lot.
Yeah.
And I think, I remember seeing you at the Union maybe about 6 or 7 months ago. And I was like, oh, you're doing stand-up again? And you're like, bitch, I never stopped.
I know. That bothers me so much, but I'm so grateful. I was like, oh, you're still here? And I'm like, what? And I don't think I'm really good at the passage of time, because I'm always busy or working. And like I said too, I see it all as the same culmination. And I'm also always doing stand-up in my head, or like in the shower. You know what I mean?
All day
I'm
long.
Headlining all day long. All the time. So it's like, I've been doing this. What are you talking about?
Yeah. But I was happy because, like, I'll give you the whole backstory. Like, I saw you and I was happy because, like, I was, like, thinking of people that I wanted to have on the podcast, and I hadn't seen you, like, person to person. So when I saw you, I was like, oh, she's doing it again. I want to get her on the podcast.
And honestly, that's all I'm doing. I just show up once every 2 months to be on anyone's podcast.
I've seen you on some, I've seen you at open mics in the last 6 weeks. I know I've seen you.
I've gotten a little bit better at being also too, of I'm grateful of, I work for a production company that's mainly Monday through Friday schedule wise.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's been a little bit easier consistent schedule to hit the mics.
Does it ever take you out of the city, or is it all like doing stuff in the studio, or like, no, you do stuff on location, right? Or what do you do?
Yeah, I love being on set. We do work a lot from home, of like coordinating for the sets, but we did a shoot in Philadelphia, which was really cool.
Was it in the winter?
No, I know. I'm not going back. No, it was last summer. We've also got to produce a few commercials for the Sacramento Kings.
Oh, wow.
And so it's like super.
Did you shoot them at the arena?
Yeah, actually, yes.
Wow.
It was super cool. It was that Light the Beam commercial.
Okay.
It was really, really fun to shoot. Yeah, we filmed that in Golden One.
Isn't it I don't know how much of a sports fan you are, but isn't just the whole unification behind lighting the beam like just...
It's brilliant.
Yeah.
Whoever thought of it is the most brilliant...
Gosh.
Yeah.
I was telling somebody that it's such a real estate flex right now to be like, you can see the beam from my house.
Which, yeah, my boyfriend and I, we can see it from our front yard. And yep, I sound exactly like that.
People love to say, you can see the beam from my house. Like, it's such a flex. You cannot see it from here. But you could hear the Cal Expo fireworks, and you can see the Cal Expo fireworks from
here.
Oh,
there you go. Yeah, you've got that.
This is a good neighborhood.
Yes, you can see the fireworks.
Oh, man. Britt, we're gonna turn the corner. We're going to start bringing it home right now. Are you okay with that?
Landing the plane.
We're going to start landing the plane.
Yeah, I'm looking at my notes I had pre-planned.
Yeah, did you get everything off your chest?
I did not.
No, hey, I'm going to pick it. I'm picking at your burrito.
Go for it. Sorry. I come from a big family, too, so I'm all about that. Of like, I... a big family. I love all my siblings. Okay. So
you said you've listened to the podcast a couple of times.
Yes. Yeah.
And so we're going to wrap it up with the 5 easy questions.
Oh, I've never listened it all the way.
Yeah. This happens like 10 minutes in. What are you talking about? No. But so I wrap it up with this segment called 5 Easy Questions, and when you'll get a chance to, you're staring at your notes so hard right now. Did you see something you want to talk about?
No, don't worry. I'm neurotic like that. Of just, I still like go through events from third grade. I wish I could redo. You know.
Oh, okay.
Like,
that's good, because we all do that. Yeah. That's good. Okay, Britt, here we go. Question number one. Who or what inspires you?
I don't think I could say that in one easy thing.
Say something. Or write a song about it.
Yeah. What inspires me?
Who or what? Like, it could be like a fucking sunset.
Man.
Paper plane.
A paper plane inspires me so much.
Have you ever seen like the footage of like at a baseball game where somebody will throw a paper plane from the top deck and it'll make it all the way down to the field?
No. Do you watch these videos on YouTube? That's your YouTube search?
No, it should. No,
that's paper planes from Bill. That's so wholesome.
That's what shows up in my
that's
feed.
So wholesome. Oh my gosh. What inspires me? Okay, well, one, I got a shout out to my mom. Of she is just a lioness Aries, and I feel like anytime, you know, if I'm like, I can't do something, I just think of her. And like, she's literally to like the Nike sign, just do it. Like, just the way she's just shown up in life and like traversed things and like just inspires me to be like, keep going. Don't whine and complain. Just show up and do the work.
What did mom say when you told her you were moving to Chicago?
Oh, she was supportive. Definitely. And she knew too, like when I told her, it was like, she means it. And I think it took a little while, probably more so from my end and my perception, to trust that I could give, like, even though I gave myself permission to pursue comedy, I think I still, the struggle to believe in myself for a while, like, I still struggle sometimes too to post about shows I'm on or to share work that I've done. And so I think it took a while for me to believe in myself, which is then hard for the people close and around you to trust it. You know, it used to be like, are you still doing that little comedy thing?
Yeah,
you know,
put that in your little skit.
Yeah.
You know what? You touched on something, and I got it. Follow up on it. Sometimes I'll be talking to promoters or other show producers, and this in no way is like Brit. Like, it's not that we were talking about you, but sometimes promoters or producers will tell me, I put people on my shows and they don't even post the fucking flyer.
Yeah.
Right? And I'll be like, you know what, man? A lot of people still struggle with putting themselves out there.
It's so lame. Like, I'm literally in the fetal position, like, on sometimes, like constantly thinking I need to. And like, it's...
Well, you need to... I would like for you to do it, because you've got people in your corner that get so happy when they see your face on a flyer. So
thank you.
Think about that, okay?
Yeah.
And your mom, of course. That's awesome.
And my mom's amazing. She was just out at one of a show I was on. She asks too. She's like, tell me when you have shows. And like, I'm like, always impressed too if people want to come out to show, even though they just saw you, like, you just saw me, you're gonna come out again.
Yeah.
Like, it's beautiful. So yeah, she's super supportive. I feel really grateful too, especially coming back home. I just had a bunch of my band geek friends come out. My boyfriend's always there supporting me, and I like usually like have to like squeeze his hand really hard after your show, so and so I like anxiety spirals.
That's sweet.
But yeah, you're right. I do feel
and you're not
grateful.
Alone. You're not alone in that.
Yeah.
I just wanted you to know that you're not alone.
But
in
it
that.
Is the business aspect is an important important.
I was afraid to say I was recording a special because like all I could think about is like people are gonna be like, why is he recording a special?
Right.
Like, that's all that.
And all of us do same when I see people. It's like we all celebrate seeing that, and it makes us excited.
Yeah,
you know, and it's inspiring, and it's
that goes full circle.
You're right. I forget that that could be how people feel about me too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Question number two.
Thank you. I needed that.
What are you currently binging? Like, what can you just not get enough of right now? It could be like a book series,
bread.
A podcast, a bread.
Bread.
I think you're the second person to say bread.
Bread. I love bread so much.
Well, did you start baking bread at home during the pandemic?
I did not. No, you think I'm almost scared to the fact if I have that power. I love bread so much. What am I don't know too. I have major FOMO, so I want to see everything, be everything, have everything. So it's painful.
When you go to a good restaurant and they have like really good bread, like will you ask for like a second thing of bread? And if there's bread left over, will you take it home?
Yes, yes, absolutely. I'll be nervous asking for another thing of bread because I'll try to like temper if it seems appropriate in that setting.
Mm-hmm.
And absolutely, I'm taking. Though I try not to use to-go packages if it's like super plastic or styrofoamy.
Uh-huh.
And it's a struggle because you're like, it is wasting food by not taking it home, but then it feels also more wasteful to be using plastic or styrofoam. So
okay.
It's like a, you know.
So you're binging the bread.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I always get lost on the questions. Oh, if you're on death row.
Oh, God.
What would your last meal be? I think I went out of order.
That's great.
What would your last meal be if you were on death row?
Bread. What if my answer is bread to all of your five questions? What inspires me? Bread. What so am I eating? Bread.
Bread. Okay.
Okay. Okay. What is my last meal? Yeah. Yeah. Also, too, it is bread. So how I like to eat it from a sourdough loaf. Don't look at your watch.
My thing,
it's triggering my abandonment issues, dude.
Well, I was hitting dismiss because it was telling me my battery was low.
But that is true, though. Honestly, I
try not to. Yeah.
I struggle with that because I love people and hanging out.
Oh,
and like, I never know that like when you're supposed to go. So normally like I'll excuse myself really early because the thought that if you're annoyed with me, like frightens me so much.
I did look at a text message earlier, but you want me to know what it said?
That's okay. You can look at messages, but don't look at your clock. Like, I can't wait till she leaves.
No. I was not.
All right, that's my thing.
That.
I got to work on that. I'm sorry.
All right, it's okay.
That's me. Look, I'm going to check my time too. Oh, it is. Actually, I do need to go soon.
Okay, see? All right, Britt, this next question is kind of serious. Are you ready?
No.
Okay.
Okay, now I am.
What are you afraid of?
Man, what am I afraid of? Okay. Well, first off, I'm more scared of spiders than snakes, but then I'm also scared of not truly living and being as adventurous as I'd want to be. Because even though in my end, like in my brain, I think I could be like an international spy at any minute.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is I'm just like doom scrolling on my phone. So that reality scares me. Also, I fear not being able to speak my truth, not only confidently, but also intelligently in a peaceful way.
Okay.
So like I want to make a difference in this world. And sometimes I feel overwhelmed that I can save the world, and then I spiral feeling like maybe I can, and
but you could make the immediate 10 feet around you a better place.
Yeah,
don't focus on the whole world,
okay,
man.
I don't know though, it's hard not to. I know we're a global world, and that's what I fear.
Okay. And the last question, Britt, what's next?
What's next? Okay, I am on a show this Saturday with the Sesh. I love that place so much.
They're doing great things.
They're doing such
cool
things.
Shout out to the Sesh.
Oh my gosh, and it's so well produced, just like your podcast. And it's I'm on the Shark Tank show. So I'm going to have a business proposal idea that I'm pitching to them.
Who are your panelists?
I don't know the panelists yet.
Okay.
I haven't seen if they've shared that or not. But yeah, you're right. I should curate it based on the panelists. The judges are great because I've seen their other clips, and it's fun too. Even if someone's business idea is tanking, it's still so entertaining because of the roasts.
Yeah.
From the
Sesh is doing such good stuff. I've yet to be out there, but
that mic is so supportive.
Yeah.
It's I feel like that is just such a good environment to grow and play.
Yeah.
I love their mic.
Yeah.
But same. I'm like, I haven't been in a little while. anyways.
Britt, we're wrapping it up, man. That's it. Do you have anything you want to say? Are you good? We're going to close the door.
I'm not good.
This has been so much fun. Like, I knew you were cool, but like, you're like,
you didn't even hear how cool I am, dude. I'm actually, I was a cocktail server at Zany's in Nashville. I've announced for Independent Pro Wrestling. I don't know about that.
Talk to Johnny Taylor about that.
Yeah, and he's got his great podcast. Let's see here. Oh, I once interviewed Christian Bale.
What?
Yeah, dude. I was in a commercial.
Was it one of those things where like he's just in a room and reporter after reporter and ask him what movie was he promoting?
Dude, it was for The Fighter.
Fuck, was he still all sucked up looking?
No, he was in his Batman body, bro. I know, take a moment. Not only that, too, when I walked in the room.
Which Batman was it? The second one? Dark Knight?
I think it was this.
Or no, it might have been the third one. I don't know. But anyway, wow,
yeah,
The Fighter.
Yeah, and like the sign had broke behind him for like the movie poster. Uh-huh. And so I got to hang in there a little bit longer because they were fixing the sign, dude. Uh-huh. It was so great.
What was he doing? Was he like drinking coffee, looking at his phone?
Yeah, he was hanging out and he actually initiated conversation with me.
Uh-huh.
And I have a really dumb tattoo on my arm.
Don't we all?
Exactly. It's bare minimum if you're from Northern California. And he pointed it out in his Welsh accent, which I won't even try to imitate. But he asked me if it was a tattoo or if it was permanent. And like my brain used to be so quick. Now I feel like I just have major fog brain. But I then looked at his wedding ring and I said, is that a tattoo or is it permanent? And like, but he didn't. It was almost like two steps to make, you know, it didn't really make sense. So then he thought I meant, did he also have the tattoo? Then he started acting like he also had the same tattoo. It was weird. But my interview with him went so well. He was saying about I asked him too if he got to do his own stunts. And he was so animated about it because he said production wouldn't let him jump out of the window. It was like too dangerous when he jumps out of the window into the trash bags. And he said he studied the brother for a long time.
I remember that scene. Yeah, he jumps out the window.
Oh my gosh. And I knew watching it too. You get to preview the movie. It was like, this is incredible.
That was
acting.
A great movie. Like, yeah. Dude, I grew up in Bakersfield. I still see dudes like that at Fast Grip when I go home for the holidays.
Oh gosh. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're the real deal. And he was saying too, he even had his own language. Like, he called cigarettes like chippies and was just like so animated. That was really cool. I know. I'm like, I didn't say that. Also,
you did now.
But no, dude, I'm so much cooler than anybody knows. And
you're not having to convince me about how cool you are, Britt.
You know, the coolest people try to convince people that they are and say all the cool stuff. Those are the coolest people.
I do it 24/7, try to convince people how cool I am.
Me too. I thought I'd stop by now, but I don't.
No.
But I know, you have to go.
We gotta go, Britt.
Okay,
fine. Love you.
Love you.
Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you for treating me. Thank you for having me on. It was really cool.
Okay. I'm glad you had fun.
Okay, thank you.
Bye.
Okay, bye. I wasn't gonna let you end it.